Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, we're not exactly casino dealers, but we shuffled the deck a little bit. So we brought Nick from behind the glass. Tyler Scott is behind the glass. And Nick is filling in for Barry, who's on an eating festival and a hiatus for the next couple of days to try and stuff his pie hole. So it's Nick, Joel, and Tyler till 4, a spirited and very action-packed first 2 hours, had us covering a variety of topics, and we still have plenty more to get to. To say that Kurt Lowe is feeling some opposition, both from the text message and Twitter, might be an understatement, but it might be dead on.
Got a lot of love on the text line, Kurt Lowe.
That was sarcastic.
It was. but I mean, so some people appreciate you ranting and giving, you know, they appreciate your passion. So it's not like you got nothing but hate on the text line, but we appreciate you calling in. I know Joel does.
Sure. I mean, look, he's a good guy, but look, he just sent to both of us, come on, Joel, are we going to act like Maury didn't draft Yao Ming, trade for McGrady, Harden, Battier, Artest, and Scola? I can take them one at a time. Carroll Dawson drafted Yao Ming.
I was just going to say, Yao Ming wasn't his, right?
Correct. Carroll Dawson made the move for McGrady. Okay. Yes, he made the Harden deal, but only after Sam Presti realized there was no way he was going to re-sign him. Okay. And he had resources, which he used from a nullified trade by the commissioner. Otherwise, Chris Paul would have been in Los Angeles. You would have had Pau Gasol, and you wouldn't have had the resources to make that happen. Okay. So let's be clear on that. Shane Battier was a complete Jeff Van Gundy move, who said, I don't care about Rudy Gay and how good a young player he could be. I don't play rookies, so I want to get someone I can play. So Rudy Gay goes to Memphis for Shane Battier. Yes, Daryl actually made the phone call, but that was a complete assist to your head coach who wasn't going to play Rudy Gay. Okay? Artest, how'd that work out for you long term?
Didn't work out at all.
Okay, there you go. Luis Scola, okay. That's a combination of people and scouts and other people. But if you want to, of all the ones that you tried to use as an example, if we're going to hang our hats on Artest and Scola, okay, you can anoint him as one of the top five, and I'll tell you, he's done okay.
We all expected more from Scola. That was kind of an unfortunate situation, and he's not a terrible player.
Well, by the time he played in the NBA, his top years were spent in Argentina and in Europe.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't a great player, right, but by the time he reached his NBA opportunity, he wasn't the kind of great player he was when he was in Argentina, when he was playing on the national teams with Delfino and Ginobili and all those guys.
Fair enough. And we'll get back to basketball.
Yeah.
For those of you who are still ranting and raving about what the Rockets should or should not do, 713-780-3776. But the All-Star votes are in, right? Mm-hmm. And the Astros get what, a record? Is this the first time
ever
in
total, three starters.
And obviously, there's going to be some snubs. And the Dodgers, I guess, who was it that was complaining? Was it Jansen, the relief pitcher,
really was not happy with a team that has the best record in the National League. They're on the heels of the Astros, just a few games behind Houston for the best record in baseball. But most guys sit on their thoughts and keep them to themselves, especially when it comes to taking shots at the home fans.
Yep.
He didn't do that, did he?
It's like a couple of your teammates snubbed, specifically Justin Turner. What's your message to fans to be able to vote him in this final vote?
Sorry to Dodger fans, but that's our fault. I mean, I think, you know, he should have get more vote to get in. Same thing as Corey Seager. So, you know, JT deserved to be in there. And, you know, he was an all-star 2 years ago, last year, and this year. So, He deserved to be there. I'll say it loud and clear again. It's the Dodger fans' fault. We should have voted for those two guys. They deserve to be the starter. I mean, look at last year. We have another starter Edison Russell got voted in, and Corey Seager was way better. So it's the same thing this year, I feel like. You know, nothing we can do about it. Like I say, JT deserved to be an All-Star for the last 3 years.
At first, when I first heard the audio clip, it sounded like he was blaming it on himself. He's like, sorry, Dodgers fans, but it's our fault. That's what I thought he initially said, but then you listen further along in the audio clip and you hear him clearly blame. He's like, I'll say it again. This is the fan base of the Dodgers. They deserve the full blame. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, look, imagine if he makes those statements about Houston fans. Now, whether they show up for the Rockets games or not, or they're at every Astros game or not, all you got to do to set a fire under their Twitter accounts and get a lot of people really ticked off is make that kind of statement. Now, in L.A., it may be a little bit more late. They might just let that fly. But I'm telling you what, that wouldn't fly for long. Those wings would be cut off in a hurry here in Houston.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of markets, not just in Houston. I think Philadelphia would have killed you,
Philly
too.
Philly would just go nuts.
There's a bunch of markets that would have absolutely killed you for saying that. Yeah, it's one of those moves that you just don't do. He looked genuinely upset for his teammates, I guess. But I don't know if you go in the clubhouse and you let reporters know.
I appreciate his passion. I'm not sure that I would recommend that he do that again, or for many players, like you said, in other markets to do that. But this is something that Barry and I talked about a month ago. The way to do this is proactively. Before the voting is closed, do what the guys did in the Astros clubhouse. They came together and said, as in every interview they did and everything, hey, you guys got to get out there and vote because we need to get these guys in. And then when it looked like, and it was pretty solidified that those three guys would be starting, what did they do? Hey, Brian McCann slipped from second to third at catcher. That is really ticking us off. And the fans react because they feel the passion. I understand Jansen's passion, but I think it was misplaced in the way he used it because all he did was piss off his fan base more instead of being proactive, which maybe could have opened the door for at least one of the Dodgers to start.
Would the Astros honestly have been able to do that? About McCann slipping from second to third, would they be able to do that in the event that I lost my train of thought? But would they be able to do that if they weren't winning so much?
No, it would be a different story. It'd be harder to do. But it's an easy sell when you get the best team in baseball and your three best players are saying, "You guys don't realize how valuable Brian McCann is, and it's really bothering us that a guy that's this good and this valuable just slipped to third." And people react because they feel the passion and they know that, look, this is a together bunch. And if we want to really support them, we can do this kind of thing. But to do it after the fact is like crying over spilled milk. Now you're going to take pot shots and everybody's easy to point the finger at. But this could have been done when there was still time so people could have reacted and tried to done something, made a positive out of it.
Well, did you hear what Keuchel said?
He wanted Marwin in there pretty badly too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he said there are a few guys that got snubbed. And I know he probably meant Devo, Marwin, and McCann. But, I mean, he came out and said those guys got snubbed too, but he didn't necessarily call out the fan base for not voting. So
there's a lot of different ways to look at being proactive about it, but definitely when he comes out like he did and comes at the fans directly, it's not going to win you any popularity contest anytime soon. And by the way, starters in the All-Star game are as big a popularity contest as it gets.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to the All-Star game, I think there's a little bit more room. I think I don't excuse him or say it's justifiable, but like that as opposed to getting onto your fans about attendance, what is worse? You know what I mean? Like, do you call out your fans for not voting for an All-Star, for not, you know, getting the votes in for an All-Star vote, or do you call them out for not attending? Like, what is a bigger? So
who's to say he won't do that later on too?
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, I'm just saying, what is more egregious? Like Vince Wilfork, a lot of people got onto him for calling out the fan base. I thought it was okay because a lot of fans left.
Yeah, they do. We know how Houston gets.
You know, like it was a fair statement. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just looking at it, and I'm a Houston guy. I just, you know. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's some times where I guess you can justify going at the fan base. That probably wasn't one of them.
Right, because here's the thing. The best thing you can do to make sure the best players having the best years are starting on the All-Star team is you let the beat writers and the players themselves and the general managers vote them in. But that's never going to happen because this is what engages the fans. This is a marketing ploy as much as anything, and it becomes a popularity contest. That's why the two major markets of Los Angeles and New York in the American League had Aaron Judge, which is a no-brainer. Mike Trout's been out most of the first half of the season. Mike Trout was the second leading vote getter in the American League. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on. We'll take a quick one. We'll come back. We got a whole lot more on the show. Still got to get to this Manny Pacquiao stuff because in most cases, people think without ever wearing a mask or walking into a bank, he got robbed. We'll figure that one out and a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Producer Tyler Scott, along with Nick Sciarra and myself, Joel Blank, wrapping it up between now and 4 o'clock on The Usual Suspects as we get the pre-fireworks festivities going. On the big dial on the FM blowtorch that is ESPN 97.5. Nick will keep telling you, and I will remind you as well, download the app. It's the easiest way to take us anywhere and everywhere. You can go to ESPN975.com, download the app that way. Then once you have it on your phone, you can run it through your car and your Bluetooth. The signal's HD quality and beautiful.
That's exactly how I do it. Not necessarily through the Bluetooth. I actually use my USB, but you can do it through the Bluetooth. Yep. And I'm telling you, that's exactly. I was listening to Tyler and Raheel from, I think it was 9-11. You were filling in for Granato at 9 a.m., from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I think.
Yep. Raheel had some long name for it, but yeah.
The outlandish bicentennial pants and socks version of the show.
Spectacular. And soiree, as Trey does not know how to pronounce
soiree.
Yeah,
way to go, Trey.
Yeah,
and
just listen
Trey
to Oasis. Yeah, Oasis and Bomb Pops. I can swallow with
my
the
favorite
best
is the way he says no when you accuse him of something that he didn't
no
do.
It sounds like he's got a nasal congestion. No, I did not say it. Well, maybe, but I can't say it again.
I think he jacked that from Granato. No,
did he?
Yeah,
but John's is the more definitive.
No,
who doesn't?
Yeah, that's my favorite clip. That when you say who doesn't, that's pretty much when you sound like Granato the most.
But then you get Trey's is more like the nasal congestion. No, because he thinks about it. He goes,
no.
Well, I kind of did that, but I can't say that I did that because then I'd be in trouble for saying that, so I'm not going to say it. Oasis and My Bloody Valentine. That's what I want to talk about.
I am impressed at his knowledge of history that's like beyond his years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because for someone who's only, what, 21, 22 years old, I mean, he can reference some really old movies, man.
That's why
man
we call them the bookends, because on one side, you can get some stuff that'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes, you're going to get the other end of the equation and go, what the hell is going on? But that's why we love Trey.
Absolutely.
So, All-Star break. Would it be surprising if I tell you that in the final five for the fan vote in the American League, they've eliminated and not have a guy in there who is hitting .313 with 14 home runs, 45 ribbies, 3 stolen bases, an OPS of .975, and has only been at bat 198 times. Marwin Gonzalez has had that kind of year, and we know how valuable he's been across the diamond. He is not even in the final five.
He kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if that, you know, I don't look back in the history of All-Star votes, and he kind of came out of nowhere. Does that kind of help or prevent or hold him back any? Because
he's supposed to be a super sub, but he's become a super snub because of the fact that if the All-Star game truly is to reward a guy this year for having the best seasons this year, not like career-wise, like Mike Trout, we're talking about a guy, yeah, perennial MVP candidate, but he hasn't had an MVP year this year because he's been hurt.
Right.
So if you're talking about rewarding the best guys for this season alone, I don't know how Marwin's not in consideration. At least give him a shot at the final five because, you know, Barry and I have highlighted, he is number two on the depth chart at almost every position but catcher and pitcher across the board when you look at the Astros depth chart. And then on top of it, to have the numbers he's had, I mean, he doesn't even have enough at bats to qualify for the batting title in the American League yet, but if he gets, you know, if he just had the minimum, he'd be right up there in all these statistical categories. He's putting up 14 bombs and he's hardly getting the at bats that all the other people in the league are getting.
So if I throw out some names at you, you would be able to tell me who's a bigger snub, Gonzalez or this particular person. I can throw some names out if you want. Aaron Hicks, bigger snub. Who's a bigger snub, him or Gonzalez?
I'm partially homer, but I'm gonna say Marwin.
Do you think he's one of the biggest? Do you think he's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest snub? Because there's a lot of names out
there. Well, I think you could go a lot of different ways. I mean, if you look at the final between five, the two too, leagues. Like Xander Bogaerts, a guy that you completely won't play in your fantasy league, but there's a guy that is on fire that's having a kind of year where you could justify him being the last selection. You know, in the National League, it's even clearer because even if you look at what Hanley Jansen said about the Dodgers and the guys that Tucker and those guys that really deserve it, but you look at a guy like Anthony Rendon from Rice University that's playing for the Nationals, killing the baseball, but because it's a popularity contest, he may not get. He might not even win the final five. So there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch that I'm looking at right now. I mean, you got this is just an article that on CBS Sports, and they kind of listed what they felt were the biggest snubs. Chris Davinsky's on there. Aaron Hicks is on there. Marcus Stroman is on there from the National League. Adam Duvall, Joe Gonzalez. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting how you would put Marwin Gonzalez up against some of these players. But you're right; it's a popularity contest.
All you do is go across the board and compare everything from their average, their slugging, their ribbies, you know, all those different key categories, and you can pretty much stack them up and figure out in a heartbeat who's deserving and who's not. And of the two that aren't currently on the roster, which of the two would be a better choice? Marwin's numbers can pretty much stack up with anyone. And look at the at bats. Look at the numbers these other guys have and how many at-bats they've gotten. And in minimal at-bats, there's a reason why A.J. Hinch is finding a place for him to play. One night he's at first, the next night he's at third, the next night he's in the outfield, just so that he can get a bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
That's saying something. So Colin McHugh is even out there tweeting the fact that he said, but seriously, y'all, how is Marwin not even in the last fan vote? Guy plays six positions and posts these kind of numbers.
It's a fair point. I mean, it's fair, but... It's fair, but not fair. Like
it's
you
not going to change, right?
No. 713-780-3776. Remember, you can go to your local app store and download the ESPN app. Search ESPN Houston or ESPN 97.5 and listen to all your favorite programming from anywhere in the world, including the usual suspects. What else do you got on the docket? What else do we want to talk about? Are we still talking Strohs? There was another baseball story.
No, let's talk about Pacquiao, too, because that Pacquiao fight is something that we're going to get to here in a minute because of the fact that the controversy is swirling, and you talk about a home field disadvantage.
Yep.
I'm not sure where the breakdown happened exactly, but there's something that's got to be fixed in boxing, so we can talk about that. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the big 4th of July sale going on at Gallery Furniture. Gallery Furniture, where you always want to shop for your furniture in the Houston area. Been doing it for over 36 years and doing it well. They have three locations now across the area. They have Grand Parkway between Sugar Land and Katy. They have the Galleria location at Westheimer and Post Oak. And they have the I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker original location where Mattress Mack sits at the front desk and he guarantees you that he'll put you in the hands of capable salespeople that will identify what you need, what you're looking for, the best possible price for it, and make sure it's American-made solid wood furniture that's going to last a long time. That's the way he does business. He loves his Astros so much that he's got a deal going on right now. You buy $3,000 or more worth of furniture, and the Astros win it all. You get it free. And if you spend $4,000 or more in furniture, you get 36% back in accessories. So that means if you buy the adjustable bed frame and the adjustable base and the Tempur-Pedic mattress and you get all that going for you, you spend $4,000, guess what? You get a whole bunch of money to get pillows, sheets, comforters, maybe some wall hangings or end tables. Lots of things to go with it. That's the way Mac does business. The big 4th of July sale is going on right now. They're open till 10 every night. They're going to make sure they take care of you. And as Mac says, you buy today, you get it tonight. You buy it, you get it within 3 to 4 hours. There's no back order slips. And when you make sure you buy from Gallery, and they will make sure there's customer service before, during, and after the sale. That's just how they do business, because Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry enjoying some well-deserved time off. Tyler, Nick, Joel here till 4. We'll do the same lineup on Wednesday. Off tomorrow. At least you guys have confirmed that for me. I haven't seen it in writing, but I'll take your word.
We're off. It's confirmed. Yeah. It's network programming from pretty much all day, I think.
Yeah. If I don't show, you guys will be good to go.
Started out with Mike and Mike, and then all the way through.
Yep. We got Barry got a little bit of a hate text. Barry is my boy, but have y'all noticed there has been no complaining all show? LMAO. Yeah, when you don't have to dodge hyenas and lions just to get to work and chupacabras.
Because you live on a farm?
Yeah. You don't have nothing to complain about.
And because your Subway customer in front of you had toe jam?
We love Barry, just giving him a hard time. But yeah, usually Barry has a funny story that he opens the show with. That's not me. I'm not a stand-up comedian. Barry's a funny guy on this show for sure.
Nick, you just took a shot on Twitter, by the way.
I did. By
Cody, who? Just said, Nick, Tyler is whooping you on music intros.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4th of July. I probably would be too lazy to find all that music. I don't use my Spotify account as much as Tyler does.
I mean, I already ran out of America songs or American theme songs.
Yeah. The excuse I use is I didn't have a Spotify account. Now I do have a Spotify account, and I still don't utilize it.
Well, Tyler, what does that tell you about what he brings to the table on a daily basis and how much dedication he has to his craft? That's all I'm saying. I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm going to let it marinate like the fajita meat if he does it right tomorrow.
We have been getting some more suggestions. I'll read them a little bit later. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I'm really going to make fajitas.
Okay.
Make some really good fajitas.
Can't wait for the leftovers on Wednesday.
Yeah. I'll bring some.
All righty.
I don't know if it'll be edible, but I'll bring some.
Well, yeah, we'll let Trey try it first, and if it passes the Trey test, then we can do it.
There you go.
By the way, Dr. Dre on 290 is backing up the exact same thing that you were told earlier. He's heading there right now.
Who is?
Dr. Dre on 290 is heading to however you guys say it, Michoacana?
Just say Mitch O'Connor really fast.
Michoacana, okay.
There you go.
Michoacana. He's heading to La Michoacana. Fajitas and cross-cut ribs on the menu for tomorrow. There you go.
I kind of already.
So when you leave here, you better get going because people aren't exactly going to be open tomorrow.
I think, yeah, I am going to buy it today, but I think those spots stay relative. Like, I think they stay open until like 7 or 8. So I think there's one.
I think this thing called the internet might be able to clear that up for you.
on the way home, there's one, I think, that's on the way to my house. So, yeah.
So, Tyler, did you watch the fight Saturday night?
I did not, no.
Nick?
I was at Lil Woodrow's and Katie, so I was kind of drinking and watching it at the same time.
So, no.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, the only two rounds
that I saw.
You better
not have been. You better have been watching whatever else was going past you on
a regular
basis.
A very small Lil Woodrow's and Katie, by the way. It's a tiny Lil Woodrow's. It's the first time I've ever been.
I didn't know they had one out there.
I didn't know either.
Is that the one at I-10 and 6?
A little bit further from 6, but on I-10. And it's only been open by, it's right next to a Landry's in the same plaza. It's only been there for about a year. Was playing ping pong. Really small, though. Like, one of the smallest Woodrow's I've ever seen. But it's a good spot, nonetheless. Free plug for
it. So you're saying there was no scenery?
There really wasn't that much, honestly.
Watching the fight?
A little bit. I was playing ping pong and watch. When I was watching the fight, Pacquiao wasn't winning the rounds. I mean, whatever rounds I was watching, Pacquiao wasn't winning. And then I go on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Exploding. And the judge gets annihilated on Twitter for a 117-111 scorecard that he submitted.
So it depends on who you look at, right? Because between the color commentary on the actual broadcast or Al Bernstein, pretty much everyone was in agreement that Pacquiao got screwed.
Yeah, Teddy Atlas was another guy.
Teddy Atlas was passionately opposed.
Well, he was quick to tell him, and that was the other piece of audio I forgot to email to Tyler. But right in the post fight interview, like when he comes to introduce Jeff Horn, he doesn't even get a chance before he can even get his first answer out. He's like, "I thought Pacquiao won the fight, but you held your own. You stayed in there. You were tough. Blah 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 blah." But he was quick to let him know that he felt like he didn't win. So.
Okay, yeah, because going to say, not only the fact that he was able, I mean, he was ballsy enough to say it to Horn,
yeah.
But then once he got, when it was just him giving his analysis of the fight, he went 150%.
Yep, and Lennox Lewis did the same thing. Look, it's an unfortunate situation because Manny Pacquiao was at 59 wins at that point. And so now instead of being 60-6, I didn't expect him to retire even after a win, but I thought the possibility was there. Now I really don't see him retiring because he's not going to retire on a loss like that to Horn. And Horn's not really a name. You know,
Now he is. Yeah. Now a rematch will get a lot more interest. However, I will say this, and we go back to the roots of ESPN a little bit. The fact that ESPN carried that fight and it had great ratings means that maybe they're on to something. Like, the network can still make money by selling it, but that the people really liked the fact that instead of having to go through pay-per-view and pay a lot of money for a guy that they didn't know much about, but they knew Manny Pacquiao, they got it over the air on cable and they liked it.
Max Kellerman said it was a pay-per-view card or pay-per-view worthy card on free TV. I don't know. I'm just not a guy that pays for it. But when you look at the numbers, there's always boxing enthusiasts that do pay for random cards that you probably wouldn't pay for. You'd be surprised, you know? And so it's great to have Manny Pacquiao on free TV because you know you're not going to get the same Pacquiao of 5 or 6 years ago. So I was okay with it. I just don't know if it was pay-per-view worthy. The other thing is, before Al Bernstein, because a part of Al Bernstein's rant on Stephen A was the fact that people were calling Horn a no-name. And right. In the boxing world, right. He is actually a no-name. I'm just saying a no-name to the casual fan. Most casual boxers don't know who Horn is or was until he probably fought Manny Pacquiao, the biggest name he's fought in his career.
I mean, it's a fair point in the fact that boxing isn't nearly on the stage that it once was. And if you're not a big, big name, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, you know, Floyd Mayweather type guy, you just don't get the kind of run that you would get years past because boxing was a bigger sport in terms of its popularity. But at the same time, Stephen A. Smith is on the air every single day, and one of the main things he brings is an opinion. So the other thing you better do is you better back it by doing your research. We do it. We know we do it just to be on the air on radio. Yep. We do hours of research for every show. But Al Bernstein, a long time boxing aficionado, and broadcaster and critic, he had a lot to say about Stephen A. Smith.
I'm in Teddy. Listen, congratulations, great effort.
This is Teddy Atlas. So Teddy Atlas so first, and we'll get to Al Bernstein.
I thought this guy was landing the punches. You were throwing a lot that were missing. But you showed great heart, the heart of a champion, no doubt about that, the character of a champion. But let me ask you, you fought an honest fight. So I'm going to take for granted you're an honest guy. And I'm going to ask you, did you feel after that ninth round, a very difficult round, after that round where it was almost stopped, I mean, you heard the words of the ref. He said, I'm going to stop this fight if you don't do something. And your own corner told you that. Did you really think that you were winning that fight?
How did he answer?
No, it in the beginning, it basically says that he Teddy Atlas tells him that he doesn't believe he won the fight, and it cuts off at the end. I think that's the audio clip from ForTheWin.com.
Did Horn?
I don't remember.
That's a hell of a position to be in. If you're Horn, you won the fight.
I don't think he says. I don't know what he said. I didn't listen. But most fighters in that situation are not going to admit that they lost.
They're not going to admit exactly.
They're not. I mean, you just don't do that. That's just not the nature of fighters. It's not the fighter spirit. But maybe he did. Maybe he was honest and said, "Yeah, I should have lost," but it's kind of hard to say that when you've got the belt like wrapped over your shoulder.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but
so Al Bernstein though had a problem with Stephen A. Smith because he said, you know, essentially just do your job, do your homework.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much. It's not like night in, night out, the schedule changes and teams are playing 4 games in 5 nights. This is a event where you have plenty of ample opportunity to do your research. He said, I seldom criticize broadcasting colleagues, but I cringe when announcers who don't really follow boxing denigrate fighters for no reason. Perhaps before Stephen A. Smith said that Horn's opponents, Randall Bailey and Ali Funeka, give meaning to the term no names, he might have done 5 minutes of research and realized Bailey only 5 years ago was a world champion, and as recently as 6 years ago, Funeka fought twice for a world title. Are they household names to all sports? No. But in the fact of the matter is, he's making the point that they're not just bums off the street, like Stephen A. was quick to say, instead of admitting he hadn't done a whole lot of research on this.
Yeah, he admitted that he didn't do research and then called those guys no names, which is in the boxing world, like a lot of people in the boxing world, the ones that do follow the sport, they're pretty passionate. And when you tell somebody he's a no name, man, they don't like it. Now, they don't like it. Stephen A. Smith, though, he's paid to have one of those loud opinions, and, you know, I'd be bothered by if Al Bernstein told me that, because that's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, by the way, in the boxing world. He's extremely respected. Yep. And, you know, he obviously felt passionate about it if he put like a, what was it, looked like a 17 paragraph Facebook post from what I saw.
I'm not going to read the whole diatribe, but it is worthy of more than an essay. He went a long time.
I wouldn't want Al Bernstein to go off on me like that, but hey.
You're talking about, you know, Max Kellerman's followed boxing for a long time too. But when you talk about Bernstein, when you talk about the likes of Larry Merchant, talk about guys that have been around the sport for a long period of time, you don't just dismiss anything that he says with a grain of salt. You have to take a little bit to heed because of the fact that he knows what he's talking about. So that was interesting, and Stephen A., instead of dishing it out, had to take it for a change. All right, we got to take it for one more segment before the Blitz takes over. So we'll take it home for you in just a minute. If you guys still have something on your mind you want to get in before we get out, 713-780-3776, HRP, and listen line. You can text, you can call, or hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Living with a hernia. Oh, wrong version. Tyler Scott, Nick Sciarra, Joel Blank wrapping things up on a Usual Suspects for a unusual Monday, as we are the pre-holiday edition of the Usual Suspects. Barry Laminack enjoying some time off, doing his fair share of relaxing and eating, I'm sure, which is great.
Good for him.
Yep, everybody needs to do that every now and then. Fellas, as we normally do, first and last segment, we normally kind of get a little bit off the beaten path of sports. I was surfing around and came across the following. As men, I'm not sure we're going to enjoy this as much, but it is humorous nonetheless. In Jacksonville, Florida, a Florida man accidentally shot himself in the penis when he sat down on a gun in the driver's seat of his car, and it went off. Several television stations report the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says the man ran into his girlfriend's house Friday after the gun discharged. She saw that he had a wound in his groin and took him to the hospital, where he underwent surgery. Sheriff's Office said the 38-year-old man has a previous conviction for cocaine possession and may now face charges of being a felon in possession of a firearm, even if that firearm shot off his firearm. Youch, ouch, and oh, baby, that will doubly hurt.
So it's safe to say she gone? Like, she's not going to
life's gone.
Be there after the recovery process?
Are you talking about little Dickie? Or are you talking about the girlfriend? Because I'm not sure either one of them are going to stick around.
God, that's got to be. I would see. The thing is, if that ever happened to me, I would just want to die. I don't want to live through getting shot in the penis. I just don't want to.
Barry Warner has a good life.
I don't ever want to cross that bridge. Do you remember the story about how the I think it was a black guy somehow got like a penis transplant, but it was a
white guy's unit.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember that. Yep.
Hey man, you know what? If you get a unit, he should be just happy. I'll take a
favorite song was Ebony and Ivory.
Something that works. As long as you get something that works.
Is that bad? I mean, why would? I mean, it's better than
nothing.
His
favorite song is Ebony and Ivory, living together in perfect harmony. I mean, as long as he's allowed to have, as long as it works. Like, I'm not saying just like when you gotta go to the bathroom. I'm saying if it works.
And just a little piece of advice. I forgot his name, but the 38-year-old man in Florida. Yeah. Like, don't you have a safer spot to put your gun than on the driver's seat?
Well, but think about that. If it went off when it was on the driver's seat, what if it was tucked into the middle of his jeans? Yeah, you might want to buy a shoulder holster or, you know, something else. Because
I just feel people are too...
Like, holding guns in the back of your pants or front or anything uncomfortable. Like that, it's uncomfortable, and B, I'm always worried that even though it's got a safety on it, what have you, like, I would still be worried something would catch it and then it'd go off.
I used to work for my dad at like a loop center doing oil changes, and we, you know, I'd obviously get in so many different kinds of vehicles, and I'm telling you, people would be way too complacent about where they put their gun. Like, I'd be driving into the garage about to pull a car up for an oil change, and boom, there's a freaking gun on the passenger seat or just on the floorboard or in the compartment. I'm like, dude, you can't just leave a gun there.
Yeah.
It's just,
you could Akeem Tlaib it, you mean?
Yeah.
You can take it or Akeem Tlaib it, you leave it until it shoots off your weapon. Because my buddy used to do customized interiors for cars.
Yeah.
Till he got out of the business. One of the most popular things that he would do was redesigning dashboards so that there was a holster at the bottom of the dashboard to avoid this very problem. So, like, you know, right under the steering column, and slightly to the left between the door and the steering column, but underneath, he would like do a custom made, either made out of like plastic laminate or like a special leather undersiding.
Where
the gun would sit.
I've seen those. I like that setup.
That's a Laminec. That's like a Laminec dream, because with his combination of road rage and the ability to carry a gun, that's what he needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't be carrying a gun if you get road rage.
Yeah. No, especially these days. Have you seen some of these stories? Just recently, a girl that was like, you know, honor roll and everything, you know, graduate with honors, and gets into it with a guy, and the next thing you know, he shoots her in the head, she dies, and like, you know, she's got her whole life in front of her, and all of a sudden, just like that, because of like a lane change or something, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I cut this lady off the other day.
Well, you cut everybody off.
And she was like, it was my fault totally, but I just thought she was overboard. I mean, she was just so mad. I was like, I just cut you off.
You got the double bird?
Yeah.
Well, there's the fireworks before the
fourth. But she was so livid. Like, but anyway.
I'm livid with you every day, and that's just driving home next to you.
I didn't annoy you too much today, though.
No, well, the day is still young. All right, so Nick has made it through his first 3 hours of two double shifts. As Wednesday, we will do it all over again with Tyler. You'll be back, I take it. Unless the festivities get to be too much on the 4th, you will see the same three of us on Wednesday, or hear us, as we will return Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. But tomorrow, we're going to take some time off just like you. So give thanks. Appreciate everything that you got here in the United States of America and the good old U.S. of A. Celebrate a little red, white, and blue. Enjoy the festivities. And we'll talk to you again Wednesday. Fred, AJ, and the Blitz next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Yes, he did.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.